evening, counselors. We'll make a start.
Things are getting up a wee bit. McSarah did that deliberately, you see, at the last meeting.
She shared.
I think Michael shared with Sarah, didn't
yeah. Right, good evening, counselors. Any apologies? Okay, folks, I start off tonight on a sad note that one of our citizens lost his life at the weekend of a motorcycle accident on the Port of Ferry Road. It's Darren Hogg from Ballykimner, so we'll maybe send a letter of condolence to the family. We also had a very busy month in August. Most of our major festivals took place in August with very successful Footsteps in the Forest over 2 days in Slieve Gullion, followed by the great disappointment that we had at the festival flight had to be cancelled due to inclement weather. But the Stem Village worked very well, and even on the Sunday the numbers were very high in that, so that's maybe even something we should be looking to extend, coupling up a STEM activity with the festival flight. We have Pride of Place judging, so we have Restrevers Men's Shed and Space in Uri, both going forward to represent the district at Pride of Place in Cork in November. We also then had a very successful Wake the Giant in a new format this year with a larger parade, opening parade, and then going to the Clonallan Park, I forgot the name right, where the vast increase in numbers, I think we would have struggled to have it in the town park. So that was very successful for us. We also then had two successful golf tournaments with our Summer of Golf and our first time in the Urian Moran Junior Trophy, which went very well, and we had good numbers come in for that. We also then were down at Kinsale to the unveiling of the Davit from the Lusitania, and it was great to see how much it was appreciated by the people in Kinsale that the council had given it to the museum, and I think they've done an excellent job in the way they've located it, pointing out towards the actual wreck. And we also had the official opening of Warren Point Park just last week, and the launch of Sainfield Community Centre, which I'm sure some of you are delighted by. So, there we are. Can we now have any declarations of interest? No. Councillor Casey?
Sure, no declaration of interest. I'm just, can you take me in on AOB just before you start the meeting properly? Is that okay? You don't mind? It's to do with, what I'm asking to. Please just take me and hear me out on what I have to say. Is that all right?
I'm on what?
It's to get you to organise a meeting as soon as humanly possible with the Health Committee. Two critical issues. Daisy Hill especially. It's the CT scanner has broken down again. And there was a report not too long ago to say that scanner was past the sell-by date and money had been ring-fenced for a new one, which hasn't happened yet. And there's also the issue of ambulance cover, which my family encountered on Sunday when our daughter received some very critical injuries in a car crash. And after she was stabilised in Daisy Hill, she was to be blue-lighted to the Royal Victoria. But she had to wait from 11 o'clock to 20 to 6 that evening before she was actually transferred. So there's an issue over ambulance cover and the CT scan. Is it possible, Chair, to your good offices, you can maybe organise a meeting with the Health Committee as soon as is humanly possible?
Well, there is a Health Committee meeting scheduled for the 22nd of October. The full council meeting.
Two workshops, workshops in between there and then.
Right, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. So can we sort of prioritise those two issues if it's at all possible?
Yeah,
appreciate that. Thanks very much, Chair.
Yeah. problem. Okay. Okay, Liam, do you want to take us through the action sheet?
Sure.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Chairman, it's just I would like to support Councillor Casey on that request and also point out that elective surgery is really falling behind in, I presume, all throughout the area, but certainly I know a lot of people now who are really suffering and just months of waiting and no forward planning for when they can get seen. So we need to discuss the situation around elective surgery as well.
Do we have a contact that the councillors can feed in information that they want put onto?
Actually, my next
meeting
up, so I'm not here.
Owen Devon, Assistant Director, I think. Yeah. Okay, so if councillors want anything put onto those health committees, if they put it through Daly, and she'll get it passed on. Councillor Quinn?
Yes, it was just to support that motion because. Right. There was a very serious road traffic accident on the outskirts of Kilkeel at the start of the month where the people had to wait on the road for almost 2 hours before they were able to get ambulance call.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so let me do the action
sheet. Chairman, action sheet. Most of the actions are underway. We have got some, there's a lot of correspondence out that we have no response for. Again, the notice of motion regarding Carcer Savage and Stokes was discussed at the RTS committee and in the papers tonight. Letters gone regarding the fire service and the Irish Air Corps. But Chairman, don't think there's anything else outstanding on that there.
Okay, so we'll move on to the minutes of the council meeting held on Monday the 6th of August. For accuracy, we've paid one. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. And a proposer and a seconder? Councillor Helen, Councillor Burgess. We'll move on to the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee, held on Monday the 13th of August. For accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. Supposer and seconder for accuracy? Yes, Councillor Hannah and Councillor McMahon. And Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I have a query on the golf tourism. I had raised it at the ERT committee and getting clarification around the £5,000 spend. And I suppose the paper that was brought in front of us was about a golf familiarisation trip that I've since, in the last couple of weeks, got more information on, speaking to people in tourism and I in that. I think as it itself is a fantastic idea and opportunity for the district and something that I welcome fully. My questions at the committee was on the £5,000 spend and it on top of the Tourism and I budget or, side by side with it. And I had asked that golf courses across the district and businesses, golf-based businesses and hotels, for that sake, are identified and advised as a potential business opportunity and it's stated in the minutes there. But what I had specifically asked for was a model along the lines of Causeway Coast and Glens, and I had raised where they had a 10-point publication brochure that would be distributed to businesses or left in some of our public offices to identify these golf courses, like the rural golf courses of my own district, Cloverhill and Ashfield Golf Course. I'm a soccer fan more than a golf fan. I'm one of them people that was nearly kicked off the golf course for going out in Ashfield and playing foot golf. But yes, what I do want to make sure is that although aside from the familiarisation trip, this is totally aside from it, I want the other golf course in the district identified along the same lines as Causeway Coast and Glens. And I understand this is separate from the market that's coming for this familiarisation trip. I'm not saying that I want everyone from, America to be shipped out to Cloverhill and staying on the Cross Square Hotel. That's not what I'm asking for. I'm being realistic here, but I do want to see something identified. Whether we put out a publication or a brochure, let's at least acknowledge the courses that are in the rural area. Thank you.
Yeah. Chair, we had actually compiled a brochure similar to that during the Irish Open, so we'll certainly look at that again and produce something similar.
Yeah, thanks, Marie. And if I just, before I bring Councillor Craig in, make a mention of on that golf and the rural golf courses. You know, we've quite a few golfing societies here who are heading south all the time for their trips. So we don't seem to see a lot of them coming north, and maybe that's something that we need to do a piece of work on, is promoting our courses to southern golf societies to try to get them to come up. So it not only increase the usage of our golf courses, but the number of bed nights we get as well. Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, there's an item to do with the Plato programme. Just wondering what types of businesses are included there, and with some more detail, if that could maybe be circulated to all councillors and not just those on the committee.
Yeah, Chair, we did send a circulation out to, I think, committee on the 29th, and we'll circulate that the same thing to all the councillors and council.
Okay, not everyone there? I'm going to just bring Liam in here for an update on... Sorry,
Chair, just the Greenway project. Sorry, is that okay, Chair?
Yeah,
just the Greenway project. I was just wondering if there was any further update on who... we represent on the steering group, or are there any more discussions on that, Chair? Thank you.
Chair, we haven't as yet action, but obviously the minutes have to go through council and then we'll take further action.
Okay, so bring Liam in to give us an update
on
that.
Yeah, no, Chairman, just I'm bringing members' attention, conscious that these minutes of the meeting are out now, and the meetings that we had, minutes of the council meeting we had last Tuesday night regarding the Belfast Region City deal. As members will know, we're heading to the 21st of September, as opposed to agree a deal between the Northern Ireland Executive, the councils, and HM Treasury through the Department of Housing, Communities and Local Government. We have agreed, just to bring members, that the recommendation or the agreement of the council was that the party leaders or the city deal reference group councillors, which again contains representatives from each of the political groupings, i.e. Councillor yourself, Councillor Martin, Councillor Byrne, Councillor Ruan, Councillor Mulgrew, Councillor O'Reilly, Councillor Hanna and Councillor Taylor are represented onto it. So they've been given the authority to actually, we agreed that our project is taken forward unless there's a major change at what point in time the councillor will advise me about setting up a special council meeting. So I just want to bring that to your attention because it's an update really of where we were at the ERP committee, Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Liam. Councillor Harvey.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Just a wee question. I wonder, could you maybe update us on the Belfast Region City deal? Which projects are being considered at the moment? Thank you.
Projects, key infrastructure projects is the Southern Relief Road, New City Regeneration, New Castle Gateway to the Mourns, and in regard to digital, there is proposals for 5G test bed. Proposals for expansion of broadband, ultra fast broadband, a maker space targeting screen and creative industries in conjunction with Queen's University. And Chairman, I think that was well answered as a start of our 10, but I think that includes all the key projects in our area.
Okay, is that everybody there? Then we'll move on to the Minister's Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee. I held on Thursday the 16th of August for clarity, page 1, or for accuracy, sorry, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Okay. Councillor Helens, Councillor Burgess, Councillor Enright.
Just on matters arising, Chairperson. There's one point under outdoor policy that myself and Councillor Pete Byrne proposed to manage with a single line change to the policy. It's not clear to us whether that single line change has been picked up by management. And if it hasn't, we'd like to put it as an amendment here tonight.
Is that the access to the countryside policy? Doreen can confirm that they have taken the amendment. It was on the closed session, so we'll see if it's gone into the closed session. Is that okay for you? Okay, anyone else? Nope. Okay, so we'll move on to the minutes of the Active Healthy Communities Committee, held on Monday the 20th of August, and again for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15. Councillor Kemmins and Councillor Anders.
I thought there was some of the light system proposed.
Any matters arising? Yes, Councillor Fitzpatrick.
It's not really in that, but I just thought I'd just comment on the fact that Maybridge Park has opened after a long and hard fought battle to get there. Absolutely fantastic, and I just wanted to pay tribute and great thanks to Michael's team. I know I always give him a hard time. But to him and his team, and his, Connor and Declan, really surpassed everything. Wixie was fantastic. Tabor and I really worked very hard. I just wish I had had a counter on the gate getting into that park, because I actually had said to Connor there earlier this evening, I actually wondered where the Maybridge children had been and where they played up until Thursday, because when Connor arrived out on Thursday at 12 o'clock, there must have been 100... and maybe more children in it, and then on Friday the same, and Saturday, and I know the official opening is tomorrow, but absolutely tremendous. The fun and joy that has happened in Maybridge, it's just been tremendous, and has been long awaited, and I just wanted to say thanks to the team, so thank you.
Thank you. Not everyone. Oh, Councillor Craig.
Chair, it's a matter of raising. It's to do with community planning. Now that we're 4 years, into community planning, where we're trying to deliver services that the community needs, I would like to see at this moment in time a review of how community planning is actually working. I know there's some good work taking place at DAA 4 level, where there's action plans have been produced. I'm not so sure how the linkage is working between the DAA 4 and the thematic working groups. And I'm not sure how effective the thematic working groups are. And I think it's time now to take stock and to see how well community plan is actually working. Are there obstacles? What are the obstacles? Can they be identified? How can we make it work better? How can we get better outcomes? And I think it's time to take stock and see what adjustments can be made. Chair, so I would like to make a proposal, Chair, that we do carry out a review of the community planning process.
Okay, Bill, someone second.
Chairman, just to advise that I know that I've been meeting with the various parties and this issue has been raised. Also, too, as part of our whole review of governance prior to the elections, you know, is one of the things we're going to look at is the working groups. So again, in preparation for the new council after the elections in June, we'll have an opportunity to look at that there in terms of nominations on the committees, how the functions and how the various working groups now they're functioning. And John McBride is doing a piece of work on that there and be bringing forward paper in the future, mm-hmm. Chairman.
Are you happy enough with that, Councillor Craig? Yeah, okay. Councillor Devlin?
Thank you, Chair. I've got some comments in relation to page 11. It's to do with the breastfeeding welcome here scheme in the council building. I suppose I want to welcome this scheme and commend the IHC officers for the work to date. This is an issue, Chair, that I feel very passionate about. Here in Northern Ireland, we have the worst breastfeeding rates in the UK, and the UK has the worst in Europe. I mean, that's extremely sad, given very well-documented benefits that breastfeeding has for both mummy and baby. Some mummies can't or simply don't want to breastfeed, but for those that do, more support must be available. Breastfeeding is extremely difficult, and I can be honest here, it's one of the hardest things that I ever did. But with the appropriate support, and you can pass the first 7 to 10 days, it then becomes the easiest thing in the world. I was very fortunate to have support within my own family, but for someone who has never before, who's never had someone that knows someone that has, it's extremely daunting, and quite often they can give up pretty quickly. So I was very pleased to see the Welcome Here scheme on the committee papers, because hopefully, Chair, with your indulgence, you'll allow me to notify members here, and also maybe through social media and the council, of the work that was being done to try and improve breastfeeding rates in the South Eastern Trust area. I discovered about 2 years ago that the South Eastern Trust was the only trust in the North not to offer a formalised breastfeeding peer support programme. And I find this quite strange and set about sort of meeting with the Public Health Agency, also meeting with the South Eastern Trust to see how we could go about changing that. So But this time last year, I actually met with the South Eastern Trust Health Development Manager on this issue. I'm delighted that they're now commencing a very similar programme in the coming months. So in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be an information session in Ballinhinch Market House. It's on Wednesday, 26th of September, between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. And the session is open to any mummy who's interested in becoming a peer support volunteer, learning more about how the whole programme will operate. So I suppose I'm asking members here to spread that information out to their constituents and also maybe ask if I forward the details through to Democratic Services, if the council would consider sharing that information on their Facebook page. So it is something I think that ties in with their own corporate plan of being more active and healthy, and initiatives such as the council in terms of having this scheme right across our building does go some way in terms of the whole normalising breastfeeding and the campaign that's running right across the north.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. Can that be done, Michael? Yeah, okay, no
thank
problem.
You.
Okay, thank you.
That was sorry,
Councillor Maggot here.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, just the play strategy upgrades on the transformation schemes, just to welcome those, especially in my own area, in Bourne Village, one upgrade of 60,000. But just a query, we had to get maybe from the officers an update on those other outstanding ones. There was a public consultation held in Ballyhole on the 31st of July, and I think the outcome of that was to be reconsidered again going forward with the plan. So could I just ask for an update at what stage that's at now? And are we expecting a further visit to the Ballyhole area to consult based on the outcomes of the meeting of the 31st of July?
Chairman, thank you. I've just asked Connor to come up, just give you a bit of detail on that.
Thank you, Chair. Just for reference, the Ballyhole, the Clock, Newton Hampton and Fork Hill is coming through EHC committee in September at the moment. We've done the public consultation with Playboard and Wicksteed have now been tasked to go out and do design brief on them. So that report will be coming through September EHC committee.
Yeah, Conor, but I think that made it that the consultation in Ballyhole agreed that because of the sort of wide varying ideas that were proposed there, you know yourself the relocation of that as well. And I just wonder, was there going to be, or before that AHC meeting, was there going to be another meeting in Ballyhole with all the parties that attended that night?
No, Playboard have completed that. That was the community consultation. They've done the online survey stage two. So the final stage of the process that's been agreed by committee was we take the report along with the design to council for approval, and then we go back on the final one is to advise committee for our community of the outcomes.
I recall that night that said we would go back to the Playboard, said they would go back.
It's still go back after approved by council.
Oh, well, that's okay, as long as they go back to the final touches. That clarifies it. Thank you.
Councillor Quinn.
Yeah. Yes, I just wanted to go back to the breastfeeding support that Laura was suggesting. And while it's great that the Southern Eastern Trust are doing this, can our council contact the Southern Trust and ensure that they follow likewise so that we have a bit of equality of service right across Newry, Mourne and Down?
Thank you, Brian. Okay, tell us. Now we'll move on to the minutes of the Regulatory and Technical Services Committee held on Wednesday the 22nd of August, and again for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 11, that's it. Proposer and seconder. Well, it was Councillor Andrews and Councillor Kern. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, yes, so it was an issue I raised just about Regen Waste and a request for an update following on from the meeting we had. I haven't received that update as yet, and I would obviously like to receive that as soon as possible. It's near 2 weeks now from we had that meeting, so I wasn't assured that an update would come fairly quickly following that, but as yet I haven't received any update as to where we are with the organising of a meeting involving the various agencies to discuss the issue.
Yeah, I know that Anthony from Farnham was arranging that, or it was being arranged, but I'll follow up with him and ask him to contact you. Yes, sir.
Okay. Councillor Larkin.
Thank you, Chair. It's just in relation to the
motion that was brought to the RTNS committee in relation to fly tipping in the district. I wasn't available to attend that to speak on it, so I was looking to indulge you this evening and say a few words if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Thank you very much.
You, please.
Okay. Well, the motion is in the minutes, so
yes.
That's as raised. Chairperson, this issue affects every part of our district. During the past 2 years, there's been a dramatic increase in fly tipping on an industrial scale. This council area had the highest number of incidents reported to the Environment Agency in the north during 2016 and 2017. Every day, this council receives reports of fly tipping and illegal dumping along our roadsides, on public land, and at our scenic drives. Approximately £3 million is spent annually by our council on street cleansing, which includes removal of waste dumped illegally. This is a great burden on finances and the ratepayer. There are a number of education programs provided through the council and local schools, with 36 schools awarded Eco Green Flag status. These are welcome and necessary. However, Sinn Féin believes that more needs to be done to reduce and deter fly tipping. Penalties should be effective, proportionate and dissuasive. Clear guidance is required for the treatment of littering by the courts to reflect the financial cost to this council and other public bodies. Sinn Féin is calling for increased cooperation with Louth County Council to help tackle the relentless dumping along the border corridor. We request that this council corresponds with the relevant department in the north, outlining our concerns and encourage a review of penalties for environmental crimes. Now, I know at the RTNS committee that Councillor Rowan and several other councillors did speak on it, and I'm grateful for that in support of it. I just wondered if there's an update from Rowland in relation to correspondence to Louth County Council and the department in the north in relation to it, and is there a review ongoing in relation to attempts to bring those that fly tip to before the courts and to bring it to an end. Thank you.
Yes, Chair. Obviously, the council is called to approve these minutes formally, and then after the call, then we will action that as Councillor Larson has the motion.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. And it's to do with the car park tariff review update that was provided to the committee. First of all, we correct, obviously, the date around the review that was to take place in October. But as members will remember, there was a proposal that the review would be more immediate than October. Obviously, we're now in September, so there's been no quicker or immediate delivery of the report. And I still want to understand what held that back. As we are continuing to let down the people of this district and severely impacting on local businesses, I'll just quote a few things that were in the paper. Business owners say 200% price hike is affecting trade. So for a number of months now, businesses are impacted by a price hike, and still we hear nothing. We're in September now, and we're only thinking of beginning to look to consult with key stakeholders. Why was that not done after the proposal that was made back in June? It seems like we as a council have let down our local businesses that have been impacted by this by not listening to the council and councillors who made the proposal to have an immediate review. Now we're delivering the report at the time that the officers had wished it to be delivered at. So I sort of want to understand why there was a delay. Why is there no lack of urgency to help support our businesses, especially in Downpatrick and Ballinahinch, who are most affected by this? There's just no answers out there at all at the moment. Businesses are asking us, what is the council doing about the price hike review? All I'm saying is I ask for immediate, and they're just not getting it.
Yeah, Chairman, it's incorrect to say that we didn't start. You know, the review was to begin 6 months after the implementation from the 1st of April. So, indeed, we would already be starting to do the work in terms of bringing it
to the... Liam, sorry, I have to cut across. That was agreed, but then in June... Yeah.
That's what I'm explaining, Chairman.
Yeah.
What I'm explaining is that we have begun the work, so we now have to carry out the consultancy and do the review. We have actually commissioned the people, so the work has been done on the ground. If we had have implemented the original decision of the council, which was to do it 6 months in, we wouldn't be starting that work until the end of September, October. So we wouldn't be bringing forward a report until 7 months after that. What we're actually doing is bring a report through to the committee in October 2018, which has actually expedited, you know, the procedure as the council agreed.
But Liam, if you think of it, this dates the May, October, that's 5 months. So where is the expedition of it? You know, an expedition to me would be the following month, not 5 months down the line.
Chairman, you don't, to empower, bring in consultancies to put together a project plan isn't done within weeks. It takes a level of time.
We don't have project managers within the council. So we not have people that are...
With project managers, but again, Chairman, you know, there's other pieces of work, three sets of work. What I'm saying is that we have implemented the council's decision. The decision taken by the council was to begin... The original decision was to begin the work in October. We have begun the work now. So that's what the council asked.
Okay. So you see that 1 month sooner than planned is a success?
Not 1 month sooner than planned, Chairman. It's actually 7 months sooner than planned.
In your opinion?
Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just reference the pedestrianisation of King's Lane and Warren Point, page 4. And at a DEM meeting that we had, it was my understanding that we were recommending that it goes to a consultation. Since then, we've actually made the decision or making the recommendation to Road Service. And I'm wondering, as part of Road Service implementation, will there be a consultation? I think it's imperative that the people and the businesses in the area are spoken to, are communicated with and consulted with before that goes ahead.
Certainly not been involved in the process, Councillor, but my understanding the consultation will commence and that the officer involved was asked to write to the Chamber of Commerce, but I can follow up with this as Director of Building Control and ask him to come directly back to Councillor Cash.
I think we probably should have had the consultation before we made the recommendation, that's all. I'm not speaking for or against it, but we do need to talk to the people.
Okay. Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. Just following up on the motion, which I'm glad to see is forward for recommendation tonight in relation to the clean-up of the Clanry River. Obviously, as a city and district, we want our city looking as best as it possibly can if we're serious about becoming another Ring of Kerry. What I would say is that we need to protect our waterways. We need to make sure that we keep them clean and to become the jewel and the crown that they are in our city. But, Chair, you know, along with that, we need to tackle the serious issue of litter that's around that area and around the city. I know Councillor Stokes at the RTS meeting raised the issue about the local volunteers, local organisations, local businesses, and obviously through the New York Reporter and other media channels that launched a campaign to do litter picks over the last number of weeks in conjunction with the North Newry bid. And what I will say is that there were 37 bags, bin liner size bags, lifted out of Canal Bank 1 car park, Soho car park, a New Street car park, and a further 13 bags of rubbish lifted in one afternoon, one day's litter pick in the mall. Now, what I would ask is that we're supposed to be advocating keeping a clean environment, a clean planet, and trying to advocate a litter-free city. And yet that's the sort of volume of rubbish that local organisations, businesses and that taking upon themselves are lifting off our streets. So for people to say we don't have a litter problem, I think those numbers speak for themselves. What does astonish me is, though, that in those areas that we're talking about, there are no council litter bins in either of those three car parks unless they've been put in recent hours or days. Firstly, I'd like to ask why do we not have car park or litter bins in our car parks or public spaces? There's high volume of pedestrians and people using those areas. And secondly, are there any steps being taken in the immediate and short-term future to try and make that provision? And on the back of potentially looking at increased bin provision in the city centre,
Are we planning any sort of marketing initiative in relation to keep our city tidy? I think our local press has done a great job in trying to highlight some of the issues. I think it's starting to instill civic pride back into our city in relation to trying to keep it clean and tidy. And finally, in relation to that, I know that Newry Bid are launching an initiative to coincide with World Cleanup Day on the 15th of September. I'd encourage anybody who wants to get involved in that in the city to take part in the litter picks that are organised that day. But sure, I think that if we are serious about being heavily involved in the tourist industry and creating a city that people want to come and visit, we have to deal with cleaning once and for all, getting a task force together to clean up our waterways, in particular the Newry River, and I welcome the steps have been taken to do that. But in conjunction with that, we need to take seriously the keeping clean of the public areas that we have. And one of the easiest steps along the way to doing that is to provide the bins that people have somewhere to put their rubbish other than taking it home with them. And I would ask that some sort of initiative is taken to try and build on the momentum that has been developed over the last number of weeks in creating a civic pride. But I welcome the fact that we've got cross-party support for pushing on with the task force. Thanks, Chair.
Just to come back on a couple of points there, Councillor Savage. I know that some of those car parks were recently transferred to the council, so we've taken ownership of them. Why the bins aren't there or weren't there, I can't give you an answer for that at the moment, but what I can say is, based on the recent issues which have occurred, we've asked for officers to undertake surveys, determine the most suitable locations for bins. And I also agree that we do need to look at a marketing initiative to foster greater civic pride to help alleviate more issues with illicit dumping and with littering. And we do hope that the Neighbourhood Services Transformation Project will be that the catalyst to foster that pride within the district.
Sorry, Chairman. What sort of time scale are we looking at in relation to being able to have bins in those areas? Because I'm getting this from traders, I'm getting it from citizens. You know, you can't expect our people to go out, you know, the volunteers to go out every week and do this. You know, it's the council's job to keep the place clean. And if we don't have things, we're either starting from April before we start.
Well, certainly, I'll pick it up with officers tomorrow. I think it would be a matter of weeks, more than anything longer. But I can come with you when I find out exactly.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I want to come in on the point, the motion raised by Councillor Larkin and the fly tipping, and especially in the Sleat Bullion area. And as even though I fully support the motion and the actions the committee of the RTS and Neighbourhood Services meeting, I would like to see this council, and I've raised it three or four times, and especially around the rural area of Sleat Bullion, exhausting all the avenues that our facilities have. Because there's one thing now coming up with a unified approach across Newry, Morningdown and Louth County Council, and that can be done through the Memorandum of Understanding. But we know how difficult that could be when we talk with, for example, the charges on swimming pools and pensioners using swimming pools in both districts. And both sides of the border are totally different ways of doing things. And I know as a business that the recycling centres in the south are absolute opposite to the recycling centres here around, well, the one across from and the one in Camma, where you do have to pay to dump stuff. So trying to get some sort of a unified approach on recycling centres isn't going to work. I do agree that a unified approach will be on an education basis, but I do think that before we start getting into penalties and hauling people before the courts and stuff like that, we need to exhaust all our own facilities. And I want to make a few points on that, because it's not just the large-scale incidents of dumping. And I know Councillor Rowan had talked about the recent incidents where there's a number of towers were dumped between Newry and Dundalk. But it's the domestic dumping. And I've said before, Roland, about especially the recycling centre, state-of-the-art recycling centre in Cross Midland, and the amount of domestic dumping that I see along the road, because simply because the amount of red tape around getting into the recycling centre with trying to dump domestic goods. And I'm talking about fridges, cookers, sofas, mattresses. I mean, you're turned away. Unless you can carry it in your own back, because you can only take in your own car, you cannot take in commercial vehicles. And that needs to change. No, you have to drive the camera, but people are not driving the camera. And you'll drive along the road and you'll see mattresses. It's a totally separate issue than tyres dumped up in an area of natural beauty. And I suppose the whole point of people doing that, and I think it is a disgrace, we can only, you know, look at the recent post of a social member from the Ring of Gullion LPS board that posts up time and time again about dumping in Sea Gullion, an area of natural beauty. And I suppose people are throwing tyres there because they know they're going to get picked up straight away because of the nature of the area. And that is a shame and disgrace in itself, but it's going to be very, very hard to police. And that's an education programme. But I want to see it relaxed, especially in the Cross Dilemma Centre. And I know you might have issues where you can only have 12 bridges in there at a time, but then make sure there's always six and they're cleared. The amount of times I've been turned away myself twice with mattresses. And the more you turn people away, the more they're going to fire on the side of the road. So before we write to the departments, or actually while we're writing to the departments and asking for a unified approach, let's do everything absolutely possible in our own power to ensure that the domestic dumping is reduced. And by doing that, we need to relax the rules in the recycling centres. I completely agree with Mark and the message for zero tolerance. That will only work if we have more tolerance sites in our own recycling centres. And I've raised it twice before, and I really want to see come back the neighbourhood service that we've actually went down the lane and looked into that. Because the more people you turn away, the more dumping you're going to get. But I fully support Councillor Larkin's motion.
Yes, Chair. Just to develop to Councillor Byrne, officers have committed to undertaking a review of access arrangements for household recycling centres within this financial year. So hopefully that will be back to committee for members to consider.
Sure, it's just on Councillor Larkin's motion as well. It's an issue I had mentioned on the night that was discussed at RTS. It was just to ask that maybe consideration be given including ABC in that as well, because I know areas such as Katie, Darkley, Auchnagurgan that are just over the border of our council area, that they experience similar problems. And I think it would be, you know, beneficial to include ABC within any network of cooperation, because it's an issue that affects that part of South Armagh, but as much as it is our own. I know that I've received complaints from people in those areas, despite the fact I'm not a representative of it, but I think it's important that those councils as a unit, you know, would work better to try and deal with this problem. I think if consideration could be given to including them within that.
Yeah, is that a proposal? Do you want to second it? Or do you? Let's just get your microphone on. That's
yeah. I don't know.
There's John Henry and.
I don't mind as long as we can.
Aye, right, so John and Henry's on the one, so bring you in order.
John Henry, Billy.
And Billy?
I'm glad I'm here to witness this, Chair.
Nice, Dan. Turn that light off then.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just to be brief, that is a relevant point that David has risen, because as recently as last week there was a fairly serious dumping of a large number of tyres on the Taney Road, which is close to the border of the two councils. So yes, I had second that.
You second that. Okay. Right, thank you. So now we have John Trainer.
Thank you, Chair. No, Chairperson, just wanted to maybe revisit the car parking charges and the review there. I suppose there's been a lot of comments made. I'm not rehash what has been said. There was a lot of talk on the night. It's just in the minutes, it's just sad to see that there's a few comments that I had made that haven't made it here, because I thought they were quite important, especially given what Councillor Savage has just said as well about the provision of bins at certain car parks. An issue that we have is that we have, you know, the development of car parks in general, especially our pay and display car parks, which are primarily in Newry and Downpatrick and Ballina Hedge. And, you know, certainly from the Downpatrick side, I cannot remember the last time I've seen any of the car parks are developed. We're asking people to pay to stay in these car parks. There's many car parks in the district which are free of charge and at times get upgrades. So it's maybe just on the night I suggested that maybe officers go and look at how we can, what opportunities there are to develop our car parks as well, because people need to see exactly what they're paying for. You know, there needs to be something there that they're paying for, other than the parking, because you can get free parking in some areas. So if you're paying for your parking, you need to see some benefit from, you know, from paying for it. So it's just that those comments aren't in the minutes. I have made those comments on the night and think they're quite important.
Okay. Jesse, do you just want to turn your lights off and I'll call you in order then, so that you're not... Was Henry was next. I've got you on the list, too, and so on. Mm-hmm. So if you all turn your lights off, and Henry can turn his on and speak.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, it's just on the issue of the rubbish in car parks in around your area and other areas. A lot of it's actually antisocial behaviour. If you look at the content of the rubbish, there's a lot of beer cans, a lot of beer bottles, and that type of thing. And there's a policing aspect to that as well. But I had made a proposal here some time ago that we would emulate what some of the councils in the south do, whereby they will give incentives to local football clubs, GAA clubs, youth clubs, that type of thing, to adopt an area and keep it clean. And if you can give cash incentives or equipment incentives, whatever. And whenever you bring the community on board, people then do maintain that over generations. Chairman, would it also be possible to get litter pickers and plastic bags and gloves left within Kilkee Leisure Centre? I'm thinking of my own area. Because there are many people who will want to go out and do picks and whatever, and it can be burdensome on the council to continually run the stuff down the road. If they would just leave them there, a few on a permanent basis, it would mean that we could organise these things quicker and easier. I don't think there'd be a huge amount of expense involved in it, but if that could be done, I'd be very grateful. Chairman, it's also worth mentioning that post-Brexit, a lot of these legislative burdens that we have that cause the illegal dumping, hopefully we'll be able to amend them, provided Leo and Simon don't get too many clampers put on us up there. Thank you.
Roland, do you want to...
I think what Councillor Whirley intimates in terms of promoting the positive relationships with the community groups and so on, that's exactly the type of work that we hope the Neighbourhood Services Project will look at. I couldn't comment on cash incentives at the moment, that would be something for the Council to consider going forward, but I know there are a number of initiatives down your street and so on where there are those types of community organised clean-ups. In terms of the litter pickers at Kilkeel Leisure Centre, absolutely we'll get that arranged.
Councillor Walker.
Thank you very much. And it's also on the letter tonight was, seemed to be focusing in on Uri, a lot of speakers in relation to it. It's right across this district, so it is every town and village. And Councillor Riley's right. In our old legacy council, we used to have initiatives where community groups went out, cleaned their towns, their villages, their housing estates and that, and then there was maybe an award and they were brought in and they were given something. Perfect example, the St. Field Development Association in relation to doing that won a number of awards for doing that there, so they did. I also believe some of our policies is flawed and we're causing people to fly tip. Perfect example, and Rome knows what I'm going to say here. We had a pensioner in Killay in her 70s who wanted Lino lifted. Wasn't council policy to lift it in that? That Lino could have ended up along a hedgerow or along a road because the council was willing to pay her £10. But no, policy stated we don't lift Lino. So some of the policies is flawed. Now, in the old legacy council, and I think this should absolutely be looked at, and I think it would save money because we've heard it that it's costing X number of pounds to deal with fly tipping. And the old legacy council, on a Saturday morning, for example, in Killalay, we had the bin laureate come to the centre of the town for a couple of hours, and maybe moved on to Cross Guardian and the Ballinhinch and St. Fig. People were bringing all stuff that they couldn't put into the refuge collection for their designated days. They were bringing it there. There wasn't half the fly tipping in the district as there is now. Now, from the Legacy Council took that service off, we all could see an increase in fly tipping. Now, what does that tell you? So it does. And I honestly think that looking into a system like that again would help, so it would, right across the district. There are major towns and that there, and villages, because this is going to get worse
before it gets better. You know, no matter where you go, there's stuff dumped. So there is country roads and everywhere. But I honestly think some of our policies is flawed, because people are willing to pay the £10 to have an item lifted. Oh no, we can't lift that. You know, the perfect example was the Lino and Killay, that pensioner. So I would ask you also to look into maybe going back to an old system where you have a refuge lorry within the town for an hour, 2 hours. You know, it doesn't have to be every week, it could be fortnightly and that. But I would ask you to take that on board as well.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor McAteer. He wasn't in front of the area. He's after. Kerry, you're not next.
So we'll have the lights on, red lights.
No, I told everybody to turn their lights off.
Wait, I went by the system, sorry.
I told everybody to turn the lights off and I would call you in when you were on.
So I didn't know.
So turn your light off. You should have been listening then. So don't be too hard on Perez, Harry. Anyway, yeah, just to reflect again on what people have been saying, and just to emphasise again to Roland, etc., that at least once a week I've been phoned about tipping in certain more so in the Burren area. And I must say, our folk have responded admirably, really, to a lot of dumping in various parts of it. But I was asked by a member of the public who had reported it, you know, were we discouraging people? Now, I have no evidence to think anything otherwise that we were discouraging people at the recycling centres. I wondered myself, was there certain circumstances where, because of the nature of the vehicle coming in, where people have been rejected, and was this encouraging? So I just asked maybe for a bit of monitoring of that, and even staff advice as well, because if you weigh the two costs out, you know, inevitably, no matter if we aren't responsible, or at least if it's not part of our programme, we end up going out and lifting waste that has to be disposed somewhere or other. In any case, and when you weigh that cost against what would be just lifting in, I doubt we'll be saving any money. So just look for that. The other thing was just expanding the whole generality of this, even into dog fouling. And I see later on, below in the report here, page 8, a new strategy to address dog fouling. That's another issue that's very high on the topics of conversation in the local area. In our streets, you just take for example, you know, the public realm of Warren Point, how good that looks. And then again, you have just wanton dog fouling all over the place. So I see some proposals here, and I wonder, was any of them, were our officers being curtailed by the current legal, legal standing of what they can do and what they can't do in terms of when they see someone out with a dog? You know, what I've been told that they have very little room for manoeuvring that, and it's very difficult to bring anything forward in terms of a prosecution or a fine on this. And intimidation that some of the staff are getting as well is totally unacceptable. So I'm just thinking, you know, if there's other councils, any other jurisdictions that have Northern Leith,
have something in there, I think they're worth taking a look at, because, you know, this is what our area is about. We're trying to get the whole place cleaned up and have a look pristine. So I ask you to look at that, and that also leads on then to, again, to the annual problem we have now, and has been highlighted again in the press, about the fact that there are no weed, it seems that there has been no weed spraying, despite the fact that we were assured in this chamber at the spring meeting with DFI Roads that all spraying would take place in the early part of the year. At this moment in time, the weeds are turning to seed, and honestly, I was just looking at the old Warren Point Road the other night, and it's an absolute disgrace when you see the state of the place, and the fact that we were told, constantly told, that this was going to be done, and I don't think it's done anywhere. I travelled throughout the whole of the north. Well, that's good news, Charlie, in one part, but it's actually too late, and it's not only in this council area that I see it. You know, so I think that I think we need to write them and ask them, reflect on the minutes of that previous meeting, and call them to answer why they haven't done this and done it in time. It's now September. Thank you.
Thank you, Dad. Roland, maybe I could add on to that. There's I saw a council in England that has a policy in place that if you're going out walking your dog, you have to have a bag with you, and you could be prosecuted for not having the bag. So I think if you could look at maybe bringing that in, that it would make it easier for our enforcement officers to be effective. Okay, Councillor Andrews.
Thank you, Chair. No. This corner's busy here. The yellow sheets are getting filled out with plenty of writing. I'll mend off the ball a bit, but more or less I do concur with the previous speakers. I remember the time along with my councillor colleague Billy and Rowan collecting over 800 signatures to 1,000 to retain the Saturday morning collection service, but at the time that fell on deaf ears, and before we knew it, the couple started lovely decorations called mattresses and furniture or whatever, the fly tipping was through the roof. But we should again look at this option, and maybe I would keep the fly tipping at the bare minimum. And also the fact is, even cleanliness of our towns and villages, you know, some comments were made to me that there's places that they might have to wear overalls, don't even have to wind it. But, you know, again, we need to have resources identified and more recruitment done to get street cleansing staff back up to what it was. And maybe go back to the business of the mom in a lot of the towns and villages. The mom with the dust cart was a familiar figure, and he kept the places clean and tidy. But that's just what my take on the subject. But I think we should go in and look at other options as well. But thank you.
Oops, do apologise. Thanks, Chair. Councillor Hardy.
Chair, I'll be brief. I just want to agree with what all the councillors spoke on the fly tip, and I do believe, as councillors indicated, we have to take a responsibility for that. We have serious issues with the recycling centre in Coss Midland, where they won't open the barrier. If you have mattresses, wardrobe stuff you can't put in the boot of the car, if you get someone in the van to take it in, they won't open the barrier. So where does all of that end up? And on many occasions, and I had rung the council numerous times about the bins being full in the centre and people being turned away because there was no capacity in it. We are part of the problem here, and we have to accept that. I met with council officials last Wednesday in the square on Cross Midland, about the cleaning of Cross Midland. And when we did a walk at the square, we discovered there were 7 bins in the square. And I don't know, Councillor Savage talked about having bins. There were 7 of the bins was turned upside down. The insides taken up on them turned upside down. And the reason we were told this was done because people was dumping in them. This is the logic of this council. We took the bins away from Loch Ross, our only amenity area in that area, because people were dumping in them, we were told. So are we serious about this? I think we need to take a serious look at this. But that's what happened. The 7 bins on the square across Berlin were turned upside down so people couldn't dump in them. So we spent the money and we put in the nice bins and everything else, and we turned them upside down. I think the officials all right were a bit shocked themselves, and about 7 of the bins in the square was turned upside down. So where is people to do with rubbish? So I'm saying to Councillor Savage, the bins may not be the answer to everything.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Harding. And Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd just like to pick up on a number of points made by councillors, most recently Councillor Walker. I've been in on 3 occasions now with the Ulster Wildlife, trying to persuade council to use a simple piece of software to allow different community groups to adopt different stretches of coast, perhaps incentivised to the cost of maybe £100 a kilometre on production of evidence that have actually cleaned that piece of coast. Now, I know that Keith and I Tide is also interested in this, but it's gone on now for a couple of years, and you know, there's a large number of community groups who would be interested in signing up for such a scheme if they were allowed to do it. The software does exist, and it could easily be adopted. But second of all, I'm an active member of 13 different groups who go out both in urban and rural areas trying to clean up particular spots. And I'm aware that what a lot of councillors are saying is we make trouble for ourselves. For instance, on the Muriel side of the council, they'll accept small amounts of DIY waste. within on the east downside, we don't accept DIY waste. So unsurprisingly, you see small amounts of DIY waste being dumped around our area. In fact, it dumped ever since we got rid of the DIY waste skip in our civic centres. So we do make some problems for ourselves. But that being said, I've heard a lot here tonight about enforcement, and no court have been given for these individuals. But we have completely disempowered our staff. When you talk to the staff who are involved in this, they say quite clearly what they need. They need fixed point cameras for areas where there's repeated ongoing dumping. They say that they need cameras on their uniforms, so when they approach someone who is casually casting rubbish down on the street or dog fouling and they're abused at length, they have the ability to record what's happening. Or when they go to somebody's door, they can record the conversation that they've had. Now, I'm pretty sure that I hold the record for reporting named individuals and car registration numbers to council staff for prosecution, probably rivaled only by Bill Curry in this area. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to enforcement. We do not give our staff the opportunity to enforce. They are entirely powerless. And there's also an issue about the legislation that's involved. In other jurisdictions, specifically England and the Republic of Ireland, if your rubbish with your names and address is found upon it in a dump, you actually have to show the registration, the number of the call, the code that you've given to the police in order to report the theft of your rubbish. You aren't allowed to deny any knowledge of how that rubbish got there onto that onto that fly-tipping exercise, which people do in Northern Ireland. Now, it would be a simple matter for council to contact Stormont or to contact the Belfast solicitors that supposedly work for us and come up with some way of ensuring that we have the same level of approach where we find the names and addresses of people in a fly-dumping exercise that they do in other jurisdictions. We were told that. So for some unique reason in Northern Ireland, that we can't address that particular issue. And it's a lot of nonsense. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, Ron, do you want to come back on that?
No, I know that we do undertake enforcement where we do find illicit dumping with names and addresses on it. And indeed, I've signed off some of those actions myself through legal. So I know that we do that, but certainly we can look at any other legal avenues we have to strengthen that position.
Okay, thank you. I think we've exhausted that. So we'll go on to correspondence. We've a letter here from the Executive Office with regard to historical, clerical and child abuse.
Chairman, just to note that the final paragraph is that whether or not should be a public inquiry into clerical abuse, you know, is a matter for the future Executive to determine when it considers the recommendations of the IDWG.
Okay. Now we'll go on to environmental statement, notice of publication for Chimney River flood alleviation scheme.
Again, Chairman, I think the DEA Council has been advised that. We've put that on the agenda for any members outside the DEA who may not be aware of it. You'll note that it's available in inspection up to the 14th of September.
Councillor Devlin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose maybe just to welcome the publication of this environmental statement. I remember that summer well, the one of the huge flood, and it was memorable in Newcastle for all the wrong reasons. So I suppose delighted the scheme is going ahead. Yes, it is going to improve the livelihoods of now. There will be disruptions, no doubt, for such a big scheme, but I think in terms of Newcastle, we're delighted to get this much investment from central government. So thank you.
Okay, and then, Councillor Hannah.
Chair, also I'd like to welcome it. This will, when it goes ahead, they have strategic importance for all the people of Newcastle. Flooding has been a huge problem in Newcastle. Laura's not just as old as I am, but I can remember a lot of relatives live in Newcastle, and the flooding has been a big issue there, possibly from about the late 60s through till about 2007 when they did the last project. So this year is of huge importance. It does have an impact, so it does, should it be financial, economic, or whatever. And one thing I would do, the consultation closes on the 14th of September. If you want any information, it is in the Newcastle Standard, so I would encourage anybody with any interest whatsoever sort of the environmental, economic, or whatever, to go along and have a look at what's coming down the road for us. I was going to say what's coming down the river, but what's coming down the road. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. With the NAC conference?
Yes, Chairman, there's two conferences here. One, the first one is the NAC conference, Tackle Austerity Through Innovation. The cost is £350 plus VAT. Accommodation is £60 plus VAT.
Very nice.
Yeah. Per night. So, second one then is the annual general meeting, which is £350 per delegate, £60 per night. Chairman and to members.
Sure. Could I make a proposal that the second one there, that Councillor Andrew goes? He's a member of the NIC, isn't he?
Councillor Taylor, sure, I'm not sure if there's any limit in this, but I know that Councillor Burgess is also a member of the NAC. So.
I think we just have to think about the cost of for the council of sending delegates to.
Chairman, we have 2, 4, 6, 8 members, is it? 8 members of the NAC.
Councillor Rowan.
Just Chairman, just get agreement from the council in terms of the number of members to go. We need authority. Got two proposals, Chairman. Are you proposing?
Chair, I know that there's a party reps meeting taking place on Thursday morning, I think, isn't it?
Wednesday morning, sorry.
But maybe that could be discussed there.
Okay, we still the time in terms of booking any?
Yes, 23rd of November.
Okay, so do we not want to come back with the inventory party reps to the AGM to the next meeting then for agreement? Is that okay? Is that enough timing?
No, we're not doing the second one.
Okay, so Chairman, to back with recommendations for the next meeting. Okay.
Okay. It's the Rural Community Network.
Again, Chairman, this is a correspondence from the Rural Community. It's looking for one nomination to go forward for election. So it's not to go on the Rural Community Network. It's looking for one nomination from a statutory partner to go forward.
Anyone interested in doing that?
I propose Councillor Byrne.
Councillor Byrne. You'll accept that proposal? Yeah. Give a seconder for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Councillor Kern.
Any other proposals?
Any other proposals? I dag on you to.
Is there something wrong with these microphones today?
It is. Councillor Byrne nominated, proposed by Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Kern. No other nominations. Okay. Everybody in agreement?
The
name will go forward and then be selected. If it gets selected, it will go on to the board. Okay. We'll move on now to a motion received from Councillor Laura Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of the reading out of the wording, this council acknowledges that NIEA have determined, along with other coastal erosion experts, that due to the construction of the promenade, sand is naturally depleted from Newcastle Beach and there will never be enough sand to form a usable beach. And efforts to place sand on the beach will be counterproductive. As such, council will commit to investigate the creation of an artificial beach, such as the one developed in Paris, in order to maximise the tourism potential of the area and provide a recreational space for local people as well. Thank you, Chair. So here we are at the end of our summer season, and really due to prolonged dry weather in Newcastle, the place has been hiving with visitors and tourists alike. Many of you have commented on the lovely shops, the high-end restaurants and the superb cafe culture which has grew and grew in recent years. However, if I had a penny for every time I've heard, but we need a sandy beach. I appreciate that we can't have it all in Newcastle, despite the fact that I would like it all, but if we can take steps to improve the recreational element of the beach, then let's examine our options. I raised this question with the former director, Kenneth. I know that he had met with NIEA a couple of years ago, and in more recent times, Colin McGrath, MLA, has done the same thing. Unfortunately, due to the force of nature, we have no way of placing sand on or improving the beach itself. So I started looking at other options, and one was the creation of a temporary artificial beach above the promenade in Newcastle. Many countries throughout the world have them, and they work extremely well. Paris has one on the banks of the Seine, and has in the past stretched as far as 3 kilometres. Obviously, you'd be glad to know I'm not looking for a 3 kilometre stretch of sandy beach in Newcastle town centre, one that would just simply be big enough to create that beachy summer feel for the months of July and August. I would ask members here to support the motion, which would allow officers to go away, examine the seafront and the area above the promenade, what might work, and come back to council with costings and options. As members here, we all said very clearly at the start of this council term that tourism was our biggest economic driver. So let's see what more we can do to improve our local tourism product, but also to improve the outdoor amenity for our local people too, as this would hopefully encourage more people to be active and healthy, right from the mountains of Mourne, sweep down to the seashore.
Thank you very much, Councillor Devon. Councillor Hanna.
Chair, firstly, I commend Councillor Laura Devon there for bringing this forward. This issue has been raised on a number of occasions before. I can remember it being raised in the ERT committee. And I know on the north coast they would have the same problem with coastal erosion, so they would. And Port Rush, Port Stewart, and different towns up there, they had sought to address this where they haven't had a beach shut up. An area closed in with sleepers or whatever they do with it, so they do just try to provide some protection for the sand there. But Newcastle is a tourist town, so it is. It's a coastal village, so it is, and it very much depends on its tourist potential. So I would be very happy if Laura's happy to accept there that I'll second the motion. And as Laura says there, we should go forward, and actually the council does need to look into investigating a project of this nature, and as Laura said there, we do need to get some costings. I don't think it would be exceptionally expensive. I know it would probably have to be replenished every year. Some equipment possibly, Laura, too, on the beach wouldn't be a bad idea. Some play equipment for the children. So I'm happy to sign it, Chair.
That's all right.
Yes, Chairman. The late Councillor Jim McCart was a man of great foresight, and he, at the time, asked for sand to be put on Restrepo Beach, and or not Restrepo, Warren Point Beach. And there was a lot of people. There was a lot of people thought, you know, crazy idea. Who's going to go down there when you've got cramps or whatever? But it was agreed, and they put a few lorry loads of sand from Torpedo down onto that beach. And from all summer long, there was children down there playing, whatever. And it was such a simple and cheap scheme to do. And it was very, very effective. And there's also the possibility that we could investigate with the Northern Ireland Harbour Authority, because they dredge sand, thousands and thousands of tons of sand from the mouth of Kilkeel Harbour, where there's a very, sandbar builds up. And the distance that they steam to jettison that sand wouldn't be much different than steaming to Newcastle. And if there was permission there from the NIEA, that would be a fantastic way to build up, accumulate sand there. So those are two very simple things that could be done at very, bringing loads of sand down from Kilkeel would be very, very not expensive at all, because the lorries can get down onto the beach, so there'd be no issue. And a load and shovel to level it out, it could all be done in a few hours at the start of summer. So I think it's a great idea, and I would fully support it.
Councillor Devlin's motion, Henry, is to put the beach on the promenade, not on the actual beach itself. But I know what you're saying. Councillor Quinn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I would be supporting this motion for several reasons. One, having the sand and the beach created up on the promenade would tie in with the first steps that we have taken in making Newcastle a more disabled-friendly town. That would allow for a lot of our young people and older people who have disabilities to enjoy the feeling of the beach in complete safety. But also we would be able to enhance it as part of our play strategy to make it a better value experience for the young people, particularly those with disabilities. So I would be very supportive of this proposal.
Thank you. And we have Councillor McCauley.
Yeah, just took some care with my colleagues there. Yes, she did mention the River Seine, Laura. I just wish we had the same weather as Paris and Newcastle. But yes, all seniors party group will be supportive of the motion as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm just sort of a with the Santon voice, but I'm just wondering, what are the costs of...
What do you do there?
No, I just, how much is this going to cost, really? I mean, should we get a price for how much some of these things are going to cost? I mean, there are a lot of things that are...
The motion does ask for that.
Yeah, that's okay. But as well as that, I mean, how does this implicate officers' time? I mean, I know that there is a bit of a pop-up beach at the far end of the corner where the grass has been eroded away from some of the sculptures. I'm just wondering, is it better spending money on tidying that up? I don't know. And also, again, the officers' time, you know, there's big issues around the cafe and Tully Moore as well. I mean, there's lots of different things need to sort out. I'm just wondering, as long as it does implicate those things as well, and I'm happy to support, Chair, but I just want a bit of clarification on those two.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Rohan.
Yeah, Chairman, obviously the night is not organised there. Just the day of the issue with the stores and the closing of Douglas, but I think Andrew touched on it, that the beach and more plankings that had stand on for a long time stopped, and then the old legacy really started it up again. Now, since we get into the new council, that hasn't happened, and it was brought up to the ORT committee for both Warren Pike and Newcastle for the look of down in both. Now, any back to say is that you need licenses to accept it to do it, and you need to keep a certain thing standing off. Now, we've never had them down here, but I would actually add on to it that we invite NIEA to a council meeting, them to have the discussion with us in relation to actually keep up the down on the beach, first and foremost.
Do you want to make that an amendment?
I think that an amendment, yeah.
Laura, you have to accept that.
Ready to come in now, my closing comments?
Aye, can you... We need a second of the amendment.
I can't second... Yeah, but I can't second that for the reasons. I mean, there's a 5-year in this council in terms of the investigations that Kenneth had at a high level with NIEA. We were told very clearly, I mean, you know, certainly I was thinking we can put sand on the beach with the construction of the promenade. It's due to the promenade, Councillor Ann, but in terms of the way the water comes in, I don't get in terms of technicalities here how this works. The sand wouldn't be there for a day or two before it would all go back out again. So we've been told very clearly that, yes, in terms of licensing agreements, but simply in terms of Newcastle, not in the geography of Warren Point, but Newcastle in terms of it's just not going to work. And we were told that very, very clearly. So that's why I'm now looking at this option next. Oh, they didn't come to council members, no, it was at a director level. Okay, look, I'm more than content for it, but I mean, if there's, well, that's fine, if NIE wants to come to the council and meet with us, that's grand, and is conscious of wasting their time, and we've been told very clearly, I mean, Kenneth was told, and also Colin McGrath and LLA and I both met with NIE, and they said, look, this isn't a runner, it's not going to work, and we would never, ever give permission, so you need permission of NIE as well to take that forward, but if the council would like to hear that from the horse's mouth, essentially, I'm completely fine with that.
I was including Warren Point with this, so we may get permission to do it in Warren Point, and I guess that's what you're trying to establish. So, do we need a second or third amendment?
No, well, just
Laura,
yeah,
you're
that's
willing to
fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right, so is that everybody finished? Then you can sum up then, Laura?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you everybody for their comments. I suppose just to go over again a couple of points that were made by different members. Councillor Hannah, I know you'd mentioned there's the sand being replaced every year. It's only really for a 2-month period, so it'll be a temporary enough structure that we put up for the 2 months and then will be taken away again. And I appreciate there would be big management issues in terms of keeping it clean and ensuring that it isn't. We've already talked about the epidemic of dog fouling right across the district. We need to ensure that it's going to be fit for purpose and is clean and meets all the necessary standards. Councillor Riley, you had made a couple of points there, but again, going back again, we can't physically place the sand onto the sand itself. It's going to have to be slightly more removed, which is why I was thinking there's plenty of areas there in Newcastle at the level of the promenade are slightly above it, and I'm not too sure of the exact location, which is why I'm asking for officers to go away, have a look at the seafront and see where would be the best location and to take things forward that way. Councillor McMurray, you made some points there in terms of the cost and the officer's time, and again, that's why, in not the actual wording of the motion, but on down in my speaking notes, I said for officers if they can come back to us with prices and costs of it, how I can't, not that I'm a, I'm not sure if the word is, I can't imagine it being very expensive. It's essentially a big massive sand pit, you know, with the appropriate structure in place, so I can't imagine it being a huge cost, but let's see what they come back with. I think that's covered all the comments, Chair, and thank you very much to everybody for their input.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. So is everybody in agreement that we bring the NIEA back to ERT, and then Laura can go, or any interested party can go along to?
So we just agree on the context of the motion, plus that the NIEA come along to...
All right, John,
that they come along to the ERT committee to look at the idea of Warren Point in Newcastle for sand on the beach. Okay.
And Maggie, for a bit of encouragement for you, I went on holidays in Corfu one year and very disappointed to discover that the beach that they promised wasn't there, and I got the next morning it was. So we've received a notice of motion from Councillor Enright, which we're proposing that we send to the AHC committee. So just need to propose and second that to do that.
But Chairperson, it's an issue that's been running now in council for a number of years, and there's, I think, cross-party support for something like this to happen. And wonder, is it appropriate at this stage to refer it to committee?
Yes, I think it is. So,
Chair.
Well, the previous motion could go to a choice of three committees.
Yeah.
So, because it could go, because it was going to multiple committees, I decided to hear it. Yeah. Well, that's my prerogative.
Sure.
No, it's not. Well, this can go to any committee. No.
Correct.
No
support. Sure, my leg's on.
Councillor Walker.
But I have to agree with Councillor Owen. That's what I was going to say. We have to be consistent here when it comes to motions. We had this before with the Albert Basin, and that there was a whole row in this council because it wasn't been heard, and we were going by protocol to send it the appropriate committee. A lot of your councillors did not want that, and they started a whole row in here along with the Alliance Party at the time. Now, I'm making no apologies for saying this. It's not often me and Councillor Enright see eye to eye, but I agree with him here. I really agree with him here. You've let a motion be heard, so you have.
And then you're not taking that.
And the fact it's wrong.
Okay.
You're discriminating against that councillor, so you are. That's
no, I'm not.
Angry in the matter. So it is. And to be honest, it should be allowed to be heard. If you're letting one be heard, let them all be heard.
Thank you very much for your input, Councillor Walker. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think a wee bit of politicking going on here, because if I remember at the last council meeting, Councillor Stokes and Councillor Savage's motion was sent to committee. So I don't think this is starting a precedent at all. And actually 6-8 months ago, I had raised the issue of on the Albert Basin motion to be heard because it straddled three committees. So I can completely understand what logic he used. I'm just questioning what committee it's sent to. It's tourism funding, and I'd presume that will go to ERT and not AHC. So just get clarification on that.
Well, Councillor Enright has asked for it to go to AHC and...
The reason for that is we're talking about community funding for community groups.
Yes, I understand that. Councillor McMurray.
Chair, no, I just... being Alliance, I love it whenever they do UP and Sinn Féin agree, so I'm just adding my voice to say now. I was a bit confused as to why it got bounced, or was not bounced as well. Thank you.
Mm. Councillor Enright, what committee do you want this? Yeah, can you propose? Can you propose that? Is that a proposal then? And Councillor Henry's saying, is everybody in agreement? Councillor Carr.
Maybe just a minor point of it. No matter what committee it's going to, could we amend the motion to? I have to say, I take a wee bit of offence.
No, we can't. We can't do any through the motion.
Especially in the old Down Council. It should be the whole council district, surely. But why say especially in the old Down Council area when it applies right across the whole district?
Councillor Enright, we've just got clarity that the budget does sit with the ERT. No, it's not.
He needs to move the motion.
You need to move the motion. You want to read your motion out?
Can I speak to it, Chairperson?
No, you just read it.
Okay. Council recognises that a small number of community festivals running for 20 years or more, especially in the Old Down Council area, are also important markers for the tourism trail. Council recognises that the current annualised funding arrangements make funding for these festivals precarious and uncertain from year to year and inhibit festival organisers booking in advance to get best prices or tie up time that might be used to get matching funding elsewhere. Council resolves to create a multi-annual funding mechanism similar to that for service level agreements used for community centres to allow recognised festival committees to enhance and expand their work, secure in the knowledge they have core funding.
We need a seconder.
Councillor Hyland, second.
Councillor Hyland, yeah. So is everyone in agreement?
Chair, just a clarity. If I'm reading that there right, funding would come in under ERT and community centres would come in under AHC. So that would
community centres.
The rationale you give for the first one, that would give the rationale for the.
If you read it right, he's making a comparison to how we fund community centres. That's a comparison he's making. He's not talking about community centres, but it's not relevant. Right. So, do we have agreement on which committee it's going to?
Chair.
Yeah.
Chair. Just one point. We're going to have to be consistent here in relation to motions. I agree at the time of the Albert Basin one, I said, look, our policy at the time was send them to committees, the relevant committees, or if it's two committees, whatever committee is best placed. We need to take a decision and we need to say, if there's two motions coming forward, they're either heard at full council or they're batted off to the appropriate committee. You can't have one be heard and another one. That's discrimination against the council that's bringing the one tonight that's not been heard. It's going to another committee. And I think it's totally wrong. So it is. You know, I do know you have the prerogative in that, but it does look like favouritism to your own party motion. So it does. And not to this gentleman, Councillor Enright, over here.
Oh. Chairperson.
It's just a clarity. It's a chairperson's prerogative whether motions get held or not. This motion was brought to the council before in January 2017 and was sent to the AHC committee. The budgets have changed from that time, so I think we'll move on with this and we'll send it to the ERT committee. So we'll now move to a notice of motion received from Councillor Mulgrew. No.
Okay.
The motion reads that this council acknowledges the commitments made in the Brexit negotiations, both in the joint report and the draft agreement, where Irish EU citizens in the north of Ireland will continue to enjoy, exercise and have access to rights, opportunities and benefits as EU citizens. Recognises that this body of rights includes democratic rights, i.e. the right to vote and stand as candidates in EU elections, and therefore calls on the Irish Government to facilitate this right, given that Ireland has been allocated two additional MEP seats, calls on the Irish Government to amend the legislation and to allocate those seats to the north of Ireland to allow the citizens in the north to vote for candidates for those seats in order that they may be represented in the EU Parliament, and calls on the Chief Executive to write to the Minister of Housing, Planning and Local Government requesting this. Yet again this morning we woke up to another little spat between Theresa May and Boris Johnson, and so the circus continues. The British Government continues to stumble from crisis to catastrophe. The European Union has remained firm. There can be no diminution of the rights of the people of the north of Ireland, and one of those rights clearly identified within our European treaties is the right to stand and elect members of the European Parliament. The reallocation of British seats within the EU means that Ireland will receive two new seats. Sinn Féin is calling for these seats to be allocated to the north, and we have submitted a detailed proposal to the Constituency Commission to this effect. Irrespective of the outcome of Brexit negotiations, whether there's a deal or a crash, the EU will be making decisions which will directly affect the north of Ireland, and it is reasonable, therefore, that the north is directly represented in future decision-making process. We in Sinn Féin have commissioned legal advice which demonstrates very clearly that this is legally possible and within the gift of the Irish Government. The Taoiseach had claimed that the people of the North will never again be left behind by an Irish Government. And while those words are welcome, it is now time to support those words with action. British and Irish citizens from the North of Ireland deserve representation in the European Parliament, and that is what we are proposing today. The allocation of those two new seats to the north will not take away from the southern representation in the European in Parliament, but will ensure that citizens from Derry to Kerry will have a voice in Europe.
Thank you, Councillor McGrew. Do you have someone to second that? Thank you, Councillor Casey. Councillor O'Reilly.
Chairman, I thought when I seen this notice of motion, it must be the 1st of April, because it's something like we were getting April Fool's morning. You know, here we have Sinn Féin that want to attend a parliament like the EU Parliament that has absolutely no executive power whatsoever, while boycotting the Northern Ireland Assembly, where they would have executive power to affect the lives of our people, and also boycott the National Parliament at Westminster, where they could actually have been holding enormous power over the last number of months in regards to Brexit and other issues. Also, Chairman, what this motion proposes would represent a gross violation of the terms of the Good Friday Agreement that facilitates the consent of the people of Northern Ireland. The vote to leave the European Union was a UK-wide vote where we all had equal franchise, and almost 45% of the people here voted to leave. So it was significant enough that we can leave on the same terms as the rest of the United Kingdom. Chairman, whenever you see this sort of language being put about by Sinn Féin, it really does make one remember how the Sudeten Germans were encouraged by the Nazis, Ribbentrop and his people, to bring forward similar sorts of motions to encourage the Nazi invasion of Czechoslovakia. And we got the Munich Agreement from that. And I think, Chairman, that is a very, very, very dangerous step to take, to try and circumvent your own parliament at Stormont and the national parliament at Westminster to try and demean and ignore those institutions while trying to illegally get us into some sort of toothless parliament like the European Union. It's dangerous, and it's bad for Northern Ireland. It's bad for the ordinary people who are missing out in this country day in, day. We heard earlier on Councillor discussed the difficulties within the NHS locally. That will not be resolved from Europe. That can only be resolved by our own politicians getting around a table in Belfast and sorting it out. So we need to get away from absurd notices of motion like this and get down and get the work done that the people want done locally.
Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, just that, you know, it, just to assure everybody that it is actually SDLP policy and the current position of the party to support the notion of this. But I would ask just that for clarification from the proposer and seconder, you know, is it accurate to say that the call is simply with the Irish government? I did a bit of research on it, and it seems that the EU Parliament's negotiator, Guy Burshoft, he agreed that it would be possible. This would be possible, but technically, it would be only possible if it had the agreement of Ireland, the north of Ireland, the UK, and the EU. So I would ask that they would amend the motion to include writing to those particular institutions as well, to give it the proper body and power that it actually, that this request and motion would need to carry it actually to any sort of reality. We certainly believe in the concept of this. If you look at the latest opinion polls that were produced, I think only over the weekend, where it talked about if the north of Ireland was to leave the European Union entirely without without a deal in Brexit, the vast majority of people here would vote for a new agreed Ireland. That tells you the sentiment that's behind this and how seriously people take this. And we do have to make plans for the recognition. And the fact that the unions would only actually realise this, this may actually, you know, to a certain degree, cement their position. That people feel safe and secure with some tie to the European Union and instead of being abandoned into the British Isles and the Irish Sea. So I would ask that in support of this, that take those points and amendments that I've asked, and that would be right to the EU government, the EU Parliament specifically, the British Parliament and the Northern Ireland government. Thank you.
Roisin, would you accept that amendment? Do you still want to?
Well, actually, yes, because it's a Brexit motion, you know, as far as I understand it,
Do you have a seconder for your motions? Do you have a seconder for the amendment? Councillor Byrne. Hannah, we're dealing with this. We've got a seconder, Councillor Byrne. It's okay, we'll take a vote on including the amendment.
All for the amendment.
No, we need to deal with this first. We'll have to deal with the amendment first. Order, please. Right, do you want to vote on this amendment or not?
Chair, can we take the order of the speaker's note? If I want to speak on the detail of the amendment before we vote.
We're going to do that amendment, not the amendment. We can take speakers on the amendment, which you can't say.
Right, well, I can take speakers on the amendment. That's right. Does anybody want to speak on the amendment? The amendment only?
Yeah, I
guess. Do you want to speak on the amendment, Councillor Craig?
No.
Right. Well, can you? I'll take you in straight after. There's Craig, Savage. If you turn your light off, Gareth will come up to the next. And who's that? And then Byrne. Okay. Right, Pete. On the amendment.
Yeah, just specifically on the amendment, and then. Chair, if we're only taking. Chair, if we're only taking the amendment, I actually want to speak on the motion as well. So if I can
only bring you back in again, the motion, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, no, directly on the amendment, Councillor McIntyre is 100% right. And the seats aren't allocated because, they're actually allocated because they're the countries that are underrepresented when the UK seats are no longer being used. There's 73 UK seats, yeah. There's 27 of them, 73 are being distributed, and they're being distributed to 14 countries that are underrepresented. So there still is a surplus of seats that have been held back for the country's 46 odd seats. I think that's where I'll speak in the motion on that point. But Councillor McIntyre is absolutely correct. Yes, it is two additional seats to Ireland as an underrepresented country, which is the UK seats that we give to them. But in order to get agreement, if the Irish government and some of the politicians down the side are in agreement with this, if the Irish government are in agreement with the motion of giving the two seats or for use in the North of Ireland or Northern Ireland, that means the Northern Ireland Assembly to agree to that. The Irish government can't make a decision on that and then it not to be agreed by the Northern Irish Assembly. So it does need the full agreement of the Northern Irish Assembly. And that's where I really think, you know, Councillor Brew is talking about supporting those words with actions. We need to have our chips in a row before, you know, we have a motion like this, and I fully support the sentiment of the motion. But if we're going to ask the Irish government to make a decision on something, let's have the structures in place so that we can then back up that decision. But we do have the right to all the governments. Absolutely we do. And I think, and I'll bring it up in the motion, that we need to put pressure on the European Union of those surplus seats. And I'll make a couple of reasons or points why I think that's the case. But we absolutely do need the right to all the governments in this. Otherwise, we're just going to come back in this and we're wasting time.
Okay, Declan, can I ask you all to turn your lights off? And then I'll call you then in the order I've written down here. And could you, Councillor McMurray?
Yep, no worries, Chair.
Okay, Declan, can you clarify your amendment?
Sorry, but I'll do it again.
Just for the record.
Yes, yes, it is where the amendment, where the motion calls on the Irish, we write to the Irish government to amend the legislation and allocate those seats to North Ireland. That we also, and says, that the call to the Chief Executive write to the Minister for Housing, Planning and Local Government requesting this, that they also write to the EU Parliament, to the UK Government, and to the Northern Irish Government.
Okay, so can we have...
That's because that is what was laid down, as I quoted, from Guy Verstappen, who's the European Parliament negotiator. That's the reason for it.
Okay, so can we show a hand for the amendment, please?
For the amendment.
Against the amendment. Nine. Abstentions? Nine. The amendment's carried in. Okay, so first up then we have Councillor Craig.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We in the DUP do not support this motion, Chair. We see it as an attempt to rewrite the Belfast Agreement, and we also believe that this motion would also violate the principle of consent, as Councillor Riley has already referred to, and that is enshrined in both the Belfast Agreement and the Good Friday Agreement. And if I could just explain that, these agreements do not confer voting rights to someone living in Northern Ireland and holding an Irish passport to vote in an election in the south of Ireland. Under the European Treaty, voting rights are given if a person resides in a member state, and that refers to the EU as well. Now, after the 29th of March 2019, powers will be restored to our sovereign parliament, and that includes Northern Ireland, and I say Northern Ireland, not the north of Ireland. We are internationally and constitutionally known as the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, Chair. I would just like to ask Sinn Féin, will they also be looking for voting rights to Irish citizens living in, for instance, America or other places that hold Irish passport? That would seem to be a logical outcome, and yet I would imagine the Taoiseach would not be happy with that proposal. Now, should this motion be successful, the motion's calling for our Chief Executive to write to an Irish Minister. Chair, that's not following proper protocol. In fact, I may even question if that's legal. There are intergovernmental bodies, there's north-south bodies that need to be consulted. In fact, Chair, I believe that this motion is basically Sinn Féin grandstanding. And we're often reminded about the terms of the Good Friday Agreement and the principle of consent. And I would call on the SDLP to honour the principle of consent that they too are so often remind us of. And how can they support this motion since it violates that principle of consent and is also at variance with the European Treaty? So, Chair, we'll certainly not be supporting the motion.
Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. Chair, we support the motion as amended in that it highlights the need to acknowledge the democratic rights of the peoples of the North and give them a voice in the European Parliament. Chair, as a member of a party that's been pro-European since its foundation, unlike others who come late to support the EU project, I too want to retain our voice in Europe. Disappointingly, this motion appears to recognise or even worse accept that we are potentially heading towards a hard Brexit, or even worse, a no-deal scenario without a voice of the majority of the people of the North who voted Remain being heard. There's no mention of the element of consent in relation to that. The motion is about political representation and seats in Parliament, and it's somewhat ironic that the source of this motion is Sinn Féin, given that had they held their noses, their MPs, and taken their seats in Westminster on July 16th, they could have stood up for Ireland and the people of the North and voted to bring down Theresa May's government. That opportunity was there and created the circumstances for a general election when a new government opposed to a hard Brexit could have been installed, which is hard to believe given where we are in proximity to the border that's going to be impacted on. Indeed, if they would join us in creating the political circumstances where we can even get back to Stormont, get it up and running and sort out the outstanding issues, and give our people representation to deal with the biggest political challenges Ireland and the North has seen since partition, then we might not need to be discussing motions of this nature. We are facing the biggest political earthquake Ireland has seen, and our senior politicians, due to an inability or unwillingness by Sinn Féin and the DUP to find common ground, now bear an uncanny resemblance to Nero while Rome burns. If this is the best we're going to get from the nightmare that is Brexit, then of course we support having a voice of some description and support the motion. But Chair, it didn't have to come to this.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I suppose I'm not going to get into an argument across, you know, our positions on remaining or leaving the EU, but I completely understand Councillor Craig's points. But we're going to disagree here because me, I'm coming from an Irish nationalist who believes in the United Ireland, so we can put our points forward. But and totally respect Councillor Craig's position on this, but this is not, you know, if you're going back to the Belfast Agreement, as an Irish citizen, I have an entitlement to be. Where have I got that now? Sorry, as an Irish citizen, I'm entitled to citizenship, is the word I was looking for, of Ireland. And that, to me, it translates, and it might be ambiguous, it translates as citizenship of the EU. And that's my beliefs, and we can put them forward. Now, the thing that frustrates me here is that we have a motion that I fully support.
Our party, as Councillor McAteer said, our party position is to fully support that. But I don't want to come here and speak on a motion just because I support it. I want to see that we put our chips or ducks or whatever you want to call it in a row in order to achieve that. And it really disappoints me that, you know, it comes to just because there's an amendment put forward, you know, and Sinn Féin don't believe that you need to write to other parties when you're asking for Northern Ireland seats in the European Parliament. You know, even if they don't believe that you need to write to them, what's the worst that can happen if you do? You know, this is a stalling tactic. It's ridiculous. So I really do think that the motion then just, it looks like lip service, in lip service to put a motion forward. Put a motion forward with the full belief that whatever needs to be put in place in order to achieve that outcome of that motion is done. And I think what, you know, a lot of politicians over the last 6 months when this was raised, was discussed by Guy Verhofstadt, who was in agreement with it. A lot of the politicians down the south and in the government and Fine Gael actually agree with it. But we should be putting pressure on the European Union with the 46 seats that have been held back. And those seats, because the UK will lose 73 seats. And we're only distributing a number of them seats to the 14 countries that are underrepresented. That's where these two extra seats are coming from, because Ireland's underrepresented. There are 46 seats that have been held back in case new countries join the European Union. Well, sorry, I think there's a wee bit of ambiguity there in the sense that if the United Kingdom leaves the European Union, when the United Kingdom leaves the European Union, what I'd be fighting for and what our party's fighting for is that Northern Ireland, as an Irish citizen and a European citizen, we have rights as European citizens, that we remain in the European Union. And that, in essence, is like a new area joining the EU. And that has an argument for those 46 seats that have been held back. Now, Ireland still needs the two extra seats underrepresented. I think Ireland had 15 seats years ago. They're down to 11. I would have no issue with us calling for extra seats from those 46 pile, alongside Ireland getting two seats. I think we're going to need that going forward. But there's no point in sitting here and mudslinging because we're different sides of the fence on Remain and Leave. But it really frustrates me that a motion that we fully support, that we can't put our ducks in a row in order to see the outcome of this motion. And if that is the reason why we brought the motion, just to get lip service and a few articles out of it, well then shame on the people who brought it. Because if we cannot see this through, well, this is pointless. And that amendment to write to governments and write to the European Union was actually to support the motion and see this being realised. I want to see whether it's Northern people standing in the European Parliament, voting. And that's another thing that we need to put in here. And it is slightly ambiguous in the words. We need the Irish government to be less restrictive. Because of all the states, the EU member states, anybody that resides outside of Ireland that is an Irish citizen cannot vote. And that needs to be challenged first. So if we are writing to Owen Murphy, we need to be saying, listen, we need people outside the state of the Republic of Ireland to be able to vote in European elections first and foremost. That's one obstacle that must be removed. So that's the point we should be making, writing to the European Union and writing to the Northern Ireland Assembly and the British government, showing that we support this. We want to see representation for the Irish citizens that live in Northern Ireland that feel that they are still European citizens. And that's not diminishing the argument from Councillor Craig. So it frustrates me that because of the amendment, it just looks like lip service. But I fully support this motion, and I wish that we could put the obstacles in place, or the ducks or chips or whatever you want to call it, in place to actually realise it. Because it just seems like it's politics now, which is frustrating.
Councillor Taylor. Councillor Walker, can you turn your light off?
Yeah. Certainly, Chair, our position is very clear in us that, you know, if the proposals contained in this motion were to be followed through, it's our very firm opinion that the constitutional integrity of Northern Ireland's position within the United Kingdom, that it would be severely compromised, and as such we couldn't support this. And I think that Sinn Féin should be playing a more constructive role within this Brexit debate. At the minute it's full of stunts and attempts to continue to destabilise Northern Ireland, and that's our ultimate aim with this, and with Brexit in general. It's another tool to try and do that, and it's clear what the agenda is, but certainly, you know, we won't be supporting the motion. It's a deliberate attempt to try and compromise the constitutional status of Northern Ireland, and as such, we wouldn't support it in any form.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Alliance is aware of the need for the UK and EU to fully recognise the rights of EU citizens in Northern Ireland post-Brexit and the honour of the commitments in the Good Friday Agreement. Issues such as voting rights are an aspect of these. Discussions are ongoing on the best way to frame this, However, we don't think that the Sinn Féin motion, or I suppose the SDLP motion, as it is now, is helpful at this time, and the specific solution of the Northern Ireland constituency is unlikely to be the viable way forward. Thank you.
Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And I'm just picking up what my colleague, Chris McCraig, has said. I would also like to know from the Chief Executive, is this legal in what we're doing? I don't think it is. And we've heard nationalists and Republicans in here tonight saying different things, the North this and the North that. They need to get it into their heads, whether they like it or not. Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Whether we like it or not, we're leaving the European Union as a whole. So we are. And we hear one saying that we as nationalists, Irish nationalists, want representation in Europe. There's an easy way around that. If you're not getting represented in Northern Ireland where you live, you can go to France, Germany, the Republic of Ireland live, and you'll be well represented in Europe then, so you will. So there's options for you. So there is. And that, at the end of the day, we're part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and we'll be remaining that. So we will, whether Sinn Féin or the SDLP like it or not.
Councillor Jenner.
Thanks very much, Chair. And just maybe to pick up on what Councillor Walker's saying there, we are not forcing you to vote in these elections. You know, you're making it sound as if we're asking you, yourself personally, to vote for someone to go into the European Parliament. We are not. What we are saying is, as Irish citizens, we should be given the right. We have dual nationality. You're allowed to have dual nationality. As part of the Good Friday Agreement, as Christopher Cougas once said, you're allowed to have dual nationality. Many of us embrace that, the idea that you can have dual nationality. And, you know, let's be honest here. If you don't want to vote in an election, you don't have to vote. We are not going to force you. We're not going to sit and say, you have to vote in this election. You know, all we're saying is allow us the chance at voting for people that we want to vote for, to an institution that we want to be represented at, which we are not getting representation at the minute. That is what we're asking for. We're not asking you to vote in these elections. We're asking for you to allow us the right. And to throw in the red herring of the orange and green again is terrible politicking. I thought that we were going to try and move past this. The idea was that we're trying to forge new links. We're trying to build on respect and culture. And Maria Kell went to Blackfriars recently, as has been well seen. You know, forging new links, moving past the whole idea of identity politics. Yes, and thank you. Perfect. And again, Terry, doing it for years, you're right.
Take the motion, Councillor Jenner, please.
This is in relation to the motion because what Councillor Walker has done is he's turned it into an identity politic here. And it shouldn't be about identity politics. It should be about affording people their rights. And Irish citizens, as has been said in the motions, you know, with regards to democratic right to vote, should be afforded that democratic right to vote. And I would say the same for presidential elections. You know, it's the same thing there as well, as Councillor Brown has picked up on. It needs to be expanded on. The motion only tackles part of the problem. There's a greater issue here with regards to Irish citizens and their right to vote, especially when they're living abroad. So I just had to put that two cents there, Chair, sorry.
Thank you. I think that's everyone now. Yeah. Councillor Mulgrew, can you sum up, please?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. Just
We voted on the amendment. Was the amendment carried?
Yes.
Why
are
we going back to the
original proposal? Roisin's original proposal. It's an amended motion. Yeah.
It's only an amendment that was put onto it. Okay. First and foremost, there's just a couple of things. For those that did try to make it a green and orange thing, whenever I was speaking, I did say that the people that lived in the north of Ireland, whether they felt they were Irish or British, had the right to have their voice heard. That was the first and foremost. Disappointing to hear Henry you know, bringing in Nazism, is he away? Oh, he's gone, bless him. And I, honey's left the building. And I would have thought, as an ex-member of UKIP, he would have been much more close to Nazism than anyone else in the chamber. The other thing too, and I think now we have celebrated this year the 100th anniversary of getting the first Irish person into Parliament. It was Countess Markovich, who was a Sinn Féin member, the first woman from these islands, and she refused to take the oath of allegiance. So just in case the SDLP are confused about this, we have been doing it for 100 years. Every man and woman that votes for Sinn Féin knows that we will never take an oath of allegiance to the Queen.
No.
In bearing in mind, Councillor Byrne, thank you very much, bearing in mind that the comments about what we could or couldn't do if we were in Westminster, it's very strange that the SDLP, not one of their MPs, decided to take part in the vote as to whether or not there should have been a referendum on Brexit. They never even bothered to turn up. Shame. Put your money where your mouth is. The other thing too, regarding the continued accusations about Stormont.
Order, please.
Regarding the, I didn't interrupt you, concerning the continued accusations regarding Stormont. We again have been very clear. We will not go back into an assembly where corruption is the norm, and we will not sell out the rights of the LGBT community, and we will not sell out the rights of the Irish language. So, you know, I'm not sure who everybody else wants to sacrifice to go back in there, but it will not, no one will be sacrificed by Sinn Féin. I go back to the motion, and the motion as it read, and then Declan can put his add on, that this council acknowledges the committees made in the Brexit negotiations, both in the joint report and the draft agreement, where Irish and EU citizens in the north of Ireland will continue to enjoy, exercise and have access to rights, opportunities and benefits as EU citizens, recognises that this body of rights includes democratic rights, i.e. the right to vote and stand as candidates in the EU elections, calls on the Irish government to facilitate this right given that Ireland has been allocated two additional MEP seats, calls on the Irish government to amend the legislation, allocate those seats to the north of Ireland and allow the citizens in the north to vote for candidates for those seats in order that they are represented in the EU Parliament, and calls on the Chief Executive to write to the Minister of Housing, Planning and Local Government. And then I think Declan wanted to add in that we would write to the EU, Stormont and Westminster. Is that correct, Declan? Yeah. Okay.
That's the amended motion.
That's the amended
motion. Just clarify, stand orders. 19.19. Mover's right of reply. The mover of a motion has a right to reply at the close of the debate on the motion immediately before it is put to a vote. If an amendment is moved, the mover of the original motion shall also have the right of reply at the close of the debate of the amendment and shall not otherwise speak on the amendment. The move of the amendment shall have no right of reply. Sorry, the mover of the amendment shall have no right of reply to the debate on the amendment. Is that okay? Is that clarified?
Is all in favour
of the motion?
The amended motion has been read.
Roisin has read out the amendment. Do you want to wait to do the vote? I have been trying to call it if you should sit down.
Hang on.
Who's got a light on here?
We haven't heard the uninterrupted amended motion.
I'm going to read that out. Okay. This council acknowledges the commitments made in the Brexit negotiations, both the joint report and the draft agreement, where Irish / EU citizens in the North of Ireland will continue to enjoy, exercise and have access to rights, opportunities, benefits as EU citizens recognises that this body of rights includes democratic rights, i.e. the right to vote and stand as candidates in EU elections, causing the Irish government to facilitate this right, given that Ireland has been allocated 2 additional MEP seats, causing the Irish government to amend their legislation. And this council also writes to the EU Parliament, UK government, NI government, in facilitating their requests, seeking their support in facilitating the requests contained in this motion. And allocate those seats, that's in the legislation, allocate those seats to the North of Ireland and allow citizens in the North of Ireland to vote for candidates for these seats in order that they be presented in the EU Parliament, causing the Chief Executive to write to the Minister of Housing, Planning and Local Government and those mentioned above in requesting this. Chairman, there's no reason why I can't write, you know, we write to everybody, you know, various governments and EU in regard to that.
Yeah, just on the point of information, because when we went to the motion there, Councillor McGrew thought it was a time to have a personal comment directed to me.
Right.
I just wanted to address it because she had a comment straight to me. That sometimes you can fool some of the people some of the time.
Hey,
but you can't fool all the people all of the time. And I certainly won't be taking any lectures. I won't be taking any lectures for a party to raise their political profile on my rights. And I would actually point you for a point of information to the draft agreement before you went back into the Parliament. Sorry. Councillor McGrew spoke directly to me. We are not going to. I would ask you to go to the agreement where you were going to go back into the Parliament, where you did sell my rights.
Sorry. I wasn't listening to it. I'm sorry. Right, we need to vote on this amended motion.
There's a point of order.
We've clarified the point of order.
Point of order, I don't believe you have.
Well, I have. I clarified it. I read it out to you.
All right, yes.
So we need to go ahead and take this vote.
Are you saying that when we pass an amendment in here, it doesn't become the substantive motion and we don't vote on it?
It hasn't.
Well, it hasn't. The proposer of that motion did not accept the amendment. The whole party
voted to accept the amendment, right. So it has been accepted, and it's the original proposer's right to then finish the motion. Okay, so can we please go to vote? So all those in favour of the amended motion.
Without mentioning any names.
And those against? Abstentions? One. Right, thank you very much, Councillor. Meeting is over.